Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Reaction Monday. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. A shortened show today as the Predators are on the ice to start off their four-game Canadian road trip this afternoon. Right at noon, puck drop, so 11 a.m. pregame coverage. So we are with you for the next 2 hours. We'll lead you right into Preds pregame coverage again, starting their four-game road trip up in Canada. Canadian Thanksgiving, apparently, today. So a full slate of NHL games, and they're up there taking on the Ottawa Senators, first of a back-to-back, I believe taking on Toronto tomorrow night. Parker, how's it going? How's your weekend?
Again, it was a great weekend full of college football.
Yep.
And I was on high, went to the Tennessee game, took my wife to her very first Tennessee game.
Wow.
So we got to experience that with her. And she has now been baptized into SEC culture. She's a diehard college football fan, just like myself now.
I love it.
I was on cloud nine. And then what happened?
And then you have to watch the Tennessee Titans play football.
Then I had to watch the Titans.
Yeah.
And we're back talking about the same things.
We are. And we talked about, last week, kind of the main overarching question that we asked the entire, all five shows, was it a fluke what they pulled off in the fourth quarter? The Cardinals gave them all the opportunities, but the Titans took advantage of it. The offense showed some life. Was that a fluke, or was that something clicking for this team to finally have a competent offense? And we found out our answer yesterday. It was horrible on the offensive side of the ball. And there is absolutely nobody who is devoid of blame. I was talking to Ian while Robbie and Rexroad were on, and I think the only name that I can come up with who I can say I was actually impressed by their play on the offensive side of the ball yesterday was Tajay Spears. Like, I thought he played pretty well. There were a few plays where he made a move, made something out of nothing. But outside of that, there's not a single person on that offense that I look at and I'm like, yeah, they had a good game yesterday. It was bad all around. And we're going to talk about Cam Ward. He had a bad day yesterday. The offensive line took a huge step back. You're 1-5, and you were gift-wrapped your only win. Now Brian Callahan is, what, 4-19? 4-20? 4-19?
Yep, 4-19.
4-19. He'll be 4-20 next week after taking on the Patriots. But I just got to start with, what were the coaches thinking with the offensive game plan? I don't understand how you can watch the fourth quarter of that Arizona game and see your young quarterback start to flourish, running tempo and taking the shots underneath while also being able to make the plays downfield. I know the Cardinals were playing soft zone, so like it's not exactly going to be the same. But you saw the ingredients that it took to make Cam Ward successful last week against Arizona. And your first five play calls are run, 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 screen, screen. And it's not just the runs. Like, I understand down and distance affects the whether you're going to run or pass. And, you know, they had third and one on that first drive. You would think, hey, Tony Pollard can get us 1 yard. They were wrong. But they came out in these obvious run formations with three tight ends, and they brought in Corey Levin as a fullback. And it's like you are telling the defense you're going to run, and then you're running it three straight times. You punt. You get the ball back, and you run back-to-back screens that sets you up in third and 10. I don't understand why this offensive staff is so dedicated to the screen game that just does not work. Like, find another way to get the ball in Chimdike's hands. Don't throw a screen to Tyler Lockett ever. I don't understand. I really don't.
I think it was TD who said they ran five screens yesterday and didn't pick up a single first down. And the way the defense was playing for the Raiders yesterday, it made no sense. It doesn't take a genius. Like, I've never called a play in the NFL, but even I know that the defense that the Raiders were playing yesterday, bringing heavy pressure, you don't keep throwing screens, especially when it's not working.
Cam Ward was not good enough yesterday, but man, the early part of that game, I wanted to see him get in a rhythm, and he did make a nice throw after those back-to-back screen passes. He hit Calvin Ridley for 18 yards, and then the offense did absolutely nothing. I don't know if you saw this, Parker, the Titans' first 20 plays, do you know how many yards they had?
No.
27.
27 on how many plays?
20 plays.
Gosh.
Their first 20 plays, they had 27 yards. Just abysmal. This is a Raiders team that was giving up 35 points per game over the last 3 weeks. That defense is not good. Like, Max Crosby is a great player, and man, he ate J.C. Latham's lunch late in that game on a sack. But, like, that Raiders defense as a whole should not have held you to 10 points. And really, it should have been 3. Like, you pretty much scored that last one in garbage time where the Raiders, they were just trying to make you churn clock. They didn't care if you scored. They just wanted to make sure that, you know, they made it a 10-point game with 3.5 minutes left. It was way too late to make anything happen. And the Titans, they did nothing on offense all day long. And Cam Ward, the turnovers, if you want to put a blame pie for yesterday, like I've talked about some of these losses where Cam Ward obviously deserves a percentage of the blame for all of the losses. The quarterback always is going to. But I think yesterday is the one where you can look at and say, man, Cam Ward really cost them that game. It was 3-0, and you fumble at the goal line. And again, the offensive line gave him absolutely no help on that play. I mean, that he had the snap for about a second and a half before the guy was on top of him. But you got to protect the football. Like, the last thing that can happen there is you drop it. Give yourself a chance to punt and make them at least go 30 yards to get in field goal range, or 20 yards, instead of you got the ball on the 2-yard line and there's really not much you can do. It's just not good enough.
And Cam Ward was not great yesterday by any means, but it's just even the simple things are hard. Like even Kevin Zeitler, who you bring in on a 1-year deal, he was great last year for the Lions. He was great with the Ravens, and he couldn't stop a nosebleed yesterday. I mean, guys for the Raiders who I've never heard of were making plays yesterday and looking like all pro caliber players, and that's not good. And you mentioned at the top when we opened the show, Cam Ward is good at playing up tempo. He's good at playing fast. And the type of defense that the Raiders were running, they were running all these exotic blitzes trying to apply the pressure. Well, as a quarterback, you're taught to throw into that blitz, and you got to get the ball out hot. That is the key. You got to get it out hot. And Cam Ward, one, wasn't doing that, but two, the play calling was not benefiting him to the fact that he could do that. He was just straight drop back, and that's not good.
Right. I think on some of the sacks you look, and there's just like, hey, there was no answer on that play. Like, especially the strip sack at the goal line. But the one thing you can't do is drop the football. Like, take the sack if there was nothing to do. Like, if the protection was wrong, the offensive line gives up a free rusher, that's going to happen sometimes. You got to hold on to the football. And that made it 10-0. I mean, that's a 7-point swing right there. And then you get the ball down deep at the end of the first half. And Brian Callahan has just been so inconsistent with the way he wants to play the end of the first half. And I didn't hate the idea of trying to take a shot there. But Cam Ward, that's on Cam of you've got to have that clock in your head. Of you're holding this ball, there was what, 16 seconds left in the half on that play, and you're holding that ball for so long, I think he was trying to get rid of it. Like, I think he was trying to throw that into the seats, but you got to do it quicker than that. Like, when you have 3 points on the board, you're in field goal range, and they were only down by 7 at that point, like, you've got to be able, or they were down 10. They were down 10. It was 10-0. You have to be able to get that ball out and just live to see another down. Because you were in field goal range with 16 seconds left. Yeah, you could have played for the field goal and just run it up the middle. But your coach gave you a chance to take a shot. If it's not there, you can't wait until the pressure's right in your face. You know, arm gets hit, ball pops up, it's an interception. Cam Ward, the 3 turnovers, like, yes, the offensive line didn't help him out. But all of those were pretty inexplicable for Cam Ward. yesterday, especially the last one. You know, just letting it fall out of the back of your hand.
100%. And that's one of the main lessons that Cam Ward has to learn as a rookie, because in the ACC at Miami, he could extend all these plays, make all these Superman plays, and you can get away with that at the college level. At the NFL, right there, that's what I'm talking about, situational awareness. You got to know when to live to fight another down. And at that point, the Titans just need points. It doesn't matter if it's a touchdown, doesn't matter if it's a field goal. You just need points, because you don't want to go into halftime with 0 points like they did yesterday. Throw it away, get rid of it, kick the field goal, go into halftime down 7 instead of down 10.
Yeah, it's the end of half has been just an unmitigated disaster for the Titans. Whether it's Callahan's fault, whether it's Ward's fault, it's mostly Callahan's fault. It has just been bad in all aspects for the Titans through the first 6 weeks of the season. They're 1-5. They're one win. You needed three of the most ridiculous fumbles of all time to even have a chance. And the Titans seem to be heading nowhere fast. I say all that about Cam Ward probably being the biggest reason to blame for yesterday's loss. But I also want to make it clear that there's a lot of overreaction going on around the Titans fan base right now. And we need to slow things down. We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have thoughts for us, you can text or call. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Cam Ward, he was bad yesterday. No getting around it. He had a bad game yesterday. But he's still only 6 games into his NFL career. We'll talk Cam Ward coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, off and running on this Monday. Next man up, 1025 The Game. That was Brian Callahan after the game yesterday talking about Cam Ward's performance and the struggles of the offense, only putting up 10 points and falling to 1-5 on the year. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Cam Ward was not good yesterday, and I don't think it's breaking news to say that. He turned the ball over 3 times. There were some accuracy issues again. He was holding the ball too long. It wasn't good for Cam Ward. And I would say for yesterday's game alone, I would put the majority of the offensive struggles on Cam Ward, despite him actually having a decent completion percentage for the first time this year. But I would put a majority of the blame on why the offense was bad on Cam Ward. Those turnovers really hurt the team, and he wasn't able to move the football effectively, especially after Calvin Ridley got injured. So, you know, I think Cam Ward deserves a lot of blame for yesterday. But if you're looking at the overall issues with this offense, Cam Ward is not the biggest issue with this team. Like, the offensive line and his receiving core have clearly not helped him out this year. The biggest problem, though, is this coaching staff. Like, they are not putting this team in positions to succeed. Cam Ward is not developing. And they're just running the same plays over and over and hoping for a different result. Like, I understand you have to run screens sometimes, or run solution, as he called it yesterday. But, like, clearly you don't have the personnel to execute those plays on a consistent basis. Why are we running it 10 times a game, guys? Like, it does not make any sense, the way that they call the offense and the way they scheme things up around their young quarterback. But I do want to say there are people out there who are bailing on Cam Ward after 6 weeks, and I just don't understand it. I saw multiple tweets yesterday calling Cam Ward a bust, and I saw a couple others saying if Will Levis was healthy right now, he'd be a better option than Cam Ward. I think there are a lot of people out there who have a little bit of confirmation bias because they wanted to trade the first overall pick and didn't want Cam Ward. So they're taking victory laps after 6 games saying that, yeah, they should have traded the pick. Oh, we should have taken Jackson Dart. Like, do you care more about being right than the team that you root for actually having success and finding a franchise quarterback? Because that's what it seems like, is that you just want to be proven right that they should have traded the pick instead of actually finding the quarterback that this franchise has been searching for since Steve McNair left. Like, that, it makes zero sense to me. It's been 6 games. He has played 6 games of NFL football. He is not a bust yet. Could he end up being a bust? Sure. Am I less confident about Cam Ward than I was at the beginning of the season? Yes. But to just bail on him and start taking victory laps on Cam Ward after 6 games is absolutely insane. And I saw way too much of that yesterday on social media.
And people, what people fail to understand is what exactly were the Giants trying to do when they tried to trade for that number one overall pick? They were trying to draft Cam Ward. They would have drafted Cam Ward if they had the opportunity. And I agree with you. I am a little bit less confident in what I've seen from Cam Ward so far. But it doesn't help that everything around him is a mess. Take Bryce Young, for example. Bryce Young is – it's impossible to have watched him play at Alabama and not think that that can translate to the NFL because the talent is clearly there. But everything around him was such a mess that we aren't even seeing signs of that until now. So with Cam Ward, we're not going to see these signs that we're all hoping to see until everything around him gets better.
Well, and I don't understand why everyone's blaming Cam for this. Like, we saw what Brian Callahan did with Will Levis last year. He didn't get any better. And the roster, everybody can agree that the roster is horrible. Cam Ward is going to take some time. And you're looking at, if you watch Cam Ward play, you can clearly see the talent. Like, there are a lot of throws that he makes that a lot of quarterbacks in this league cannot make. And I don't understand how fast everyone is willing to just bail on this quarterback that the Titans tied their franchise to by drafting him with the number one overall pick. It makes zero sense to me. And the old adage is, you don't know for sure about a quarterback until you're 20 games in, right? Like, you got to give a quarterback 20 games to prove that he can be the guy. And Levis got what? 9 starts his first year. He got about 20 between his 2 years. And it was pretty clear by the end of it that he was not the guy. Cam Ward is not even a third of the way through his 20 starts that you would like to see before you can make a decision one way or the other. Now, are there quarterbacks who prove it to you before 20 starts? Sure. Like, I think Jaden Daniels, you probably knew after 8 that he was the guy. Same with CJ Stroud. There are outliers like that. But to bail on Cam Ward after 6 weeks and start taking these victory laps of, oh, I told you we were right, we should have traded back. Like, it's insane. He clearly has the talent. And yeah, is he executing at a high level right now? No. He's not making good decisions. He's holding the ball too long. And there's been some accuracy issues. But there has been some good in there too that should make you think that if you can get the right talent and the right coaching around him, he can be a franchise quarterback for this team.
It's like the same conversations that we're having with Arch Manning right now and that article by The Athletic that labeled him the biggest bust of all time, and he's only played 7 games. A bust, when you call somebody a bust, that's a career-defining term. And yeah, Arch Manning's a junior. Yeah, there were these extremely high expectations placed on him, mainly by the media, but he's played 7 games. Cam Ward, he's a rookie. And what I was having this conversation yesterday with one of my buddies. You have Jeffrey Simmons, and I know Robbie Stanley tweeted this out as well. You have Jeffrey Simmons, but who's the next best player?
Right. I mean, Skoronski, Pollard, those were the two that TD kind of came up with last week.
Yeah, and I'd probably agree, but there's not a clear answer, and everything around him has gone to crap. Yeah, the coaching staff sucks, and they're not putting the players in great position, but this roster is terrible.
Robert on the text line says, everything around Will Levis was way worse, and he did a lot better. I don't know if we were watching the same Will Levis last year, but I wouldn't say Levis was better. Has Cam been significantly better? No. Robert says, he's getting worse, guys. What are we doing here? It's been 6 games. Like, it is ludicrous to give up on a young quarterback after 6 games, who you took first overall. Like, this isn't a flyer that you took on Malik Willis, who... Malik Willis, when you put him back there, you could tell that he was lost and did not know how to play the position of quarterback at the NFL level. That is not Cam Ward. Like, is Cam Ward playing well? No. Obviously not. But to act like he's going out there and he's the worst quarterback that you've ever seen, which is basically what these people are saying, is like, yeah, 6 games, we know he's a bust. It's insane. And I can't understand why, like, let's see what he can do when you get the head coach who's 4-19 out of there. How about that?
And maybe surround him with an offensive line that can protect him a little bit better.
Right.
And some more pass catchers who don't drop the football.
Like, we had this whole conversation last week about how organizations fail quarterbacks before quarterbacks fail organizations. And you look at, like, I'm watching Baker Mayfield highlights on Good Morning Football right now of him basically carrying the Buccaneers to a win over the 49ers yesterday and putting himself at the head of MVP conversations. Like, that is a former number one overall pick who the Browns gave up on. And guess what? It wasn't him who was bad. It was the Browns organization. Let's see if you can put better people around Cam Ward before we give up on him after six games. I cannot believe we're having this conversation right now. I wonder if this is, and we just got a text from Mike about Jackson Dart. I wonder if this is part of the Jackson Dart thing of, like, they're seeing one example of a quarterback having marginal success somewhere else, and and you want to give up because your quarterback isn't doing the same.
And I think Jackson Dart, granted it's not by much, but I think he's in a much better position because he has a superstar wide receiver in Malik Nabers. Yeah, he's hurt. But Cam Scadaboo is looking like a stud at running back. His offensive line is a little bit better. I think Brian Daboll is a great play caller. Brian Callahan has never called a play in the NFL until he got to Tennessee. Brian Daboll at least called plays in Buffalo.
Right. And,
so,
and he is – Brian Daboll is regarded as the reason Josh Allen developed into the quarterback he is now. Robert says, why didn't we say that with Levis? Robert, I am making the point that it's been six games for Cam Ward. I just counted through. I gave up fully on Will Levis after the Bengals game. That was the game last year that I said, all right, he can't be the quarterback here next year because he threw three interceptions and fumbled the ball. That was his 20th start. So I just told you, pretty much all football people will tell you that 20 starts is what you need to make a firm decision about the quarterback. Will Levis got 20 before he was finally benched for good and was stopped. Cam Ward has six starts. He's got almost a full season until he gets to 20. Like, can we just pump the brakes a little bit? It's been six games. Like, there is absolutely no reason to give up on the young quarterback after six games. It's been a month and a half. Let's see where we are in December. I keep saying this. Let's see where we are in December. And if by the end of this year and Cam Ward's played all 17 and he hasn't gotten any better, then maybe you start having these conversations about, all right, he's got to prove it to us at the beginning of next year. But anybody acting like he's a bust and he's not going to be the starting quarterback week one of 2026, it's insane. It is absolutely insane. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. I mean, I don't understand how the fan base has turned this fast on the quarterback that they just took first overall. I mean, I guess maybe it's not turning. It's all the people who didn't want him in the first place.
This fan base is insufferable sometimes, man. That's all I have to say.
Skyler asked the question, Jake, do you regret preaching that the Titans needed to start Cam Ward this season? I didn't think it was a good idea because the team around him and coaches were awful. This is exactly what an organization does to ruin a quarterback. No, Cam Ward was not a project quarterback in terms of, like, needing to sit the bench. He had played so much at the college level. He's going to get better by playing. You just got to get people around him. He hasn't been good. I'm not trying to tell you, like, that, you know, close your eyes and look at and say Cam Ward has been a great quarterback. He hasn't been. But it's been six games. To give up on the first overall pick after six games is absolutely insane. And guess what? If you give up on him and he's not the guy, your franchise is set back another 5 years. So get on board with Cam Ward or... you know, this team's not going to be very good for a long time. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll continue to take your thoughts. You can text or call our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mondays were made for Macero. Big screens, bold flavors, and all the football action from queso to kickoffs. This is how Macero does game night. Macero Football Mondays in 12 South. Don't miss a snap. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 1025 The Game. DVD with Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall today. Prior to the Monday night football games, we got a doubleheader tonight. Bills and Falcons and the Bears and Commanders. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Having a conversation about Titans fans who are bailing on Cam Ward after six games. And just to clarify my comments here, like, I'm not I do believe that Cam Ward has been much worse than I expected this year. And I said when we opened the show, I'm less confident about Cam Ward being the franchise quarterback than I was at the beginning of the year. But six games is just way too small of a sample size to act like we know what this quarterback is going to be moving forward, especially with how bad the coaching has been. I mean, the common thread throughout the last couple of seasons is Brian Callahan. And he was given a chance with what I think everybody agreed was a promising young quarterback in Will Levis. But, you know, it was more of a wait and see with Levis. He was a second round pick. And he didn't get better, he got worse. And at that point, it was like, all right, well, you know, let's give Callahan another shot at it, which you can agree with or disagree with. And Callahan has clearly not done enough so far this year, and he's not putting his quarterback in a situation to win. I would like to see Cam Ward with a competent head coach and a competent play caller moving forward. And that's what I'm trying to get at here is like, hey, what? It felt like for the first 4 weeks of the season, all Titans fans kind of had their targets set on Callahan. And for some reason, the last couple weeks, it's shifted to Ward. And I don't know why you're blaming Cam Ward when we have the evidence to show you that Brian Callahan, for 23 games now, has not been able to put a competent offense on the field.
It's just a shifting of the blame, right? Musical chairs. It went from, oh, it's Mike Vrabel's fault, to now it's Rand Carthon, and now it's Amy, it's Callahan, it's Cam. It's just a shifting of the blame. And there's plenty of it to go around because this organization has been incompetent the last couple of years. But to blame a rookie quarterback who is in six games when there's so much, again, the only word that comes to mind for me is incompetence, because that's what it is. I sit down and I watch this team play every single week. I go to the home games. I talk to the coaches. I've talked to the players. I'm at practice. So I see it. It is hard to watch week after week. It does not look like a legit NFL team.
It's horrible on all levels. And Cam Ward does deserve part of the blame. Like, he is a reason why this team is 1-5. But to put all of it on him and say he's not the guy and he's a bust after six games, that's the point I'm trying to make, is that that's crazy. Let's give him some time. Like, quarterbacks aren't they aren't the same guy that they are in game six as they are in game 15. And if he doesn't get any better over the next 3 months towards the end of the season, then maybe we do start to have conversations of like, all right, he's got to prove it to us. But Cam Ward is going to be the quarterback week one of 2026. You did not take him first overall just to give up on him after 1 year. They're going to get another coach in here who they believe can develop him, and we'll see. But the story on Cam Ward has not been written yet. Like, it is far from over, and that's all I'm trying to say is, like, Callahan's going to get fired. They're going to bring in a new head coach, and we'll see if Cam Ward can develop underneath a new regime with hopefully better pieces around him. But six games is way too small of a sample size to call anybody a bust. Like, that's insane.
Was Baker Mayfield a bust? Was Bryce Young? The story's still being written on Bryce Young, but there are plenty of examples. Sam Darnold. You know, so many teams, fans threw in the towel after such a limited sample size, and look at these guys now.
Lenny on the text line says, explain Jackson Dart. Guys, Jackson Dart has played three games. Like, the story on him hasn't been written yet either, and guess what? He lost to the Saints last week. We cannot make judgments on quarterbacks based off of 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. Like, quarterback stories and careers are written over seasons, not over games. Like, let's see what these guys do moving forward, because I if you had to give me the choice right now, I'd still take Cam Ward over Jackson Dart. I would. The talent is, there is a different talent level for Cam Ward than there is for Jackson Dart. And the Giants saw it too. That's why they tried to trade up and come up and get Cam Ward. The biggest issue with this team right now is coaching, and they need to make a change. I don't know if it's going to happen this week. I mean, we'll talk about it a little bit later on. The popular answer is next week after Mike Vrabel comes in here. Maybe it ends up being the draft, or not the, excuse me, the bye week. But at some point, Brian Callahan's not going to be the head coach anymore. And we have to see what Cam Ward can do with hopefully a competent group coaching him in this building. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go to our phone lines. Billy is on the line and I guess wants to talk about Shedeur Sanders. Billy, what you got for us?
The biggest problem with this team, they should have took Shedeur. The reason the coach in Cleveland's not playing Shedeur because they know he's going to go out there and win. But the Titans ain't in a bad spot because they're going to get a top three pick. Pick the quarterback from Indiana, Fernandez.
Oh, Fernando Mendoza?
Take Fernando Mendoza. Competition is always good at no matter what position. Fernandez Mendoza come in there, it'll make Cam step his game up.
Thanks for the call, Billy. I don't.
What are your thoughts, Jake?
I'm not biting. Like, sorry. Shedeur Sanders was a fifth round pick. Like,
I had to phone that one just because it was so ridiculous. Yep, I just had to do it.
Not biting on that one. That's great bait, but I'm not biting. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have any thoughts like that, 7988 says, has Shedeur even played an NFL game? No, he is not. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We at 1025 The Game and Cromwell Media are thinking of the folks in Hickman and Humphrey counties who have been impacted by the ammunition plant tragedy. When one Tennessean hurts, we all hurt, and our thoughts are with everyone out there in Hickman and Humphrey counties. When we come back, we're going to take a quick break on the Titans. We're going to spend most of our 2 hours that we have today on the Titans as we lead you into Preds coverage coming up at 11 a.m. pregame for the Predators. But the biggest story of the weekend comes from Happy Valley. James Franklin fired after losing three straight games. We've got a touch on it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game, wrapping up hour number one on this Monday. Again, shortened show today. It is Canadian Thanksgiving. That's been confirmed to me. So happy Canadian Thanksgiving. The Predators are up in the Great White North. They are taking on the Ottawa Senators today. It is a noon puck drop, so 11 a.m. pregame. So we're leading you right up to that. Shortened show today. Have to get everything in. So we will get back to the Titans coming up at the top of the hour. But I did have to mention James Franklin being fired. I joked on Friday about how, you've got a great game coming up, Penn State and Northwestern. And I thought there was almost zero chance they could lose that game. Right? Like, You're coming off the UCLA game, which made sense to be a letdown, right? Like, you just played a hard-fought overtime game against a top-five team in Oregon, and you lost. It made sense to have a letdown going across the country to play UCLA, and then you lose to Northwestern the next week. And I know all the jokes were kind of coming out of, like, is James Franklin going to get fired? And Penn State did it yesterday. Could not believe it. I mean, this is a guy who has been... I mean, he was in the college football playoff semifinals 9 months ago. 9 months ago.
Yep, a 13-win season too.
9 months ago, he was coaching in the college football playoff semifinals, and now he is unemployed. And for Penn State, I wonder if this is going to be like a situation where the grass isn't always greener. Like, I get it. You want a guy who can win the big game. Right? Like, that's Penn State, they're not a happy-to-be-there type of program. They're not looking to just get into the playoff every year. They want to go win a national championship. And I get the notion of this guy can't win the big one. Now he's losing the small ones. Maybe it's time for a change. But I just don't know. Like, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. Matt Rhule is the guy who's being rumored as his replacement. And I like Matt Rhule, but... do you look at Matt Rhule as a guy who's won the big ones in the past? Like, he's not a guy who has... he's not a guy who's proven that he can win at the elite levels of college football. Like, yeah, he was really good at Baylor. And he got Baylor got Baylor to the Big 12 championship, but didn't win, correct? Like,
yeah, well, they played in the Sugar Bowl that year versus Georgia and Jake Fromm.
Yeah,
and so won.
Like, right, like, so he's won New Year's six games, fine, but like, is Matt Rhule significantly better than James Franklin? And I wonder if that's going to be something Penn State regrets moving forward. Now, James Franklin is making, what, $50 million off the buyout? I mean, crazy money. And I did see a tweet yesterday from a reporter who said that there is a duty to mitigate clause in his contract, which means he does have to go look for a coaching job. He can't just go, you know, sit on a beach somewhere and collect $49 million without trying to get a coaching job. Could he bomb the interviews on purpose? Sure. But he has to at least go try and get a coaching job. If he did get back into head coaching, where do you think he might end up, Parker? Like, would it make sense Arkansas, or if Florida opens up, if Kentucky opens up? Is that where you would think they might end up?
I'm going to be honest. I think Kentucky would. Now, I've been, you know, 10 toes down on the fact that I think John Gruden's going to end up at Arkansas, so I won't say Arkansas. But if you're looking for what James Franklin's problem was at Penn State was what you said, the failure to win the big one, to get over the hump. If you go to Kentucky, Kentucky's expectation is not national championship every
right.
year. They just want consistency. And James Franklin does provide that, at least.
That is true.
And it's a very low-pressure job.
Right. What James Franklin has done over the last 10 years at Penn State would be, they'd build him a statue at a lot of different places. And it was so funny, you know, being a Virginia Tech guy, and Virginia Tech has an opening right now. The amount of Virginia Tech fans that I saw saying, stay away from our program, James Franklin. Like, I wouldn't touch James Franklin. I'm like, you understand that what James Franklin has done over the past 10 years at Penn State is exactly the glory days under Frank Beamer that you wanted? A team that was consistently in the top 10 but couldn't actually win the big one? Like, it's hilarious to see Virginia Tech fans basically act like they're too good for James Franklin, who has had more success at Penn State than the Hokies have had maybe ever. I mean, they went to a national championship game, but I thought that was funny. Like, James Franklin, he's a good football coach. Is he a guy who can win you a national championship? Maybe not. But I think there's going to be a program that's going to jump at the opportunity to take him. And if you're in Arkansas and he turns you into a consistent 8-9 win team, isn't that really good at Arkansas? Like, isn't that something I think Arkansas fans would sign up for?
That's another thing that they've been wanting is consistency. You're not going to contend for national championships year in and year out at Arkansas. But James Franklin would be able to provide that consistency that Hogs fans, and they're very passionate across all sports, and that's honestly just what they want.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be one of the craziest coaching carousels I think we've ever seen. I mean, with some of the names that are being thrown out there, like, does John Gruden want to get into coaching at some point? I mean, I'm not really sure what to expect. The Penn State job obviously becomes the biggest name out there on the market. I think James Franklin puts himself at the top of a lot of schools' hiring lists. Tom in Nashville makes the point that, you know, does Penn State go back to the well and call Clark Lee? I wouldn't think so. I think that's a reason why Virginia Tech wouldn't go after James Franklin is because Brent Pry was his protege at Penn State. So the connection there, I don't know if Penn State would want to go back to Vandy a second time, but and I don't know if Clark Lee would want to leave. I really don't. I don't know if Clark Lee would want to go, but Robert makes a good point here. He says, oh, you mean the same thing Amy Adams did when she fired Mularkey and Vrabel? Yeah. I mean, that's the classic definition of the grass isn't always greener. And you always got to make the point that, yeah, Mike Vrabel lost 18 of his last 24 games here, but the grass isn't always greener on the other side, and I'm wondering if Penn State's going to figure that out. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Edward is on the line wanting to chime in on the conversation. Edward, thanks for calling. What you got for us?
Hey, can you hear me okay, guys?
Yep, we got you.
Hey, I just heard for the first time that James Franklin. I've been away from my phone and social media and everything else. So James Franklin has been fired. What a shock! You look at his history. I sat in front of him at a Vanderbilt basketball game. I'm an MTSU fan, graduate. He was on the phone the entire game recruiting. I mean, I could hear the conversations. Here's a great idea, guys. Let's get Chris Massaro to pick up the phone from Middle Tennessee State University AD, and let's just make an offer to James Franklin. Middle Tennessee State University football needs to be better than what it is. Why not go for the big dog here and ask Jay something? I mean, you look at his record, and you, one of you mentioned it earlier. Just look at his record. It's incredible. He's a winning coach. And those are just my comments. Thanks.
Appreciate the call, Edward. You know, find it hard to believe James Franklin would want to go to MTSU. Text from Bud on the text line kind of plays off this. Here's the thing you're really forgetting. James Franklin has an ego so large is the reason programs don't want him. If he wants to go win and have a chance for a national championship, his best option may be Florida State if there's a change there. Yeah, and Florida State now 0-3 in the ACC. I think he's going to go to a big-name school because I think he's going to have that, you know, the Brady Belichick kind of thing, like of I want to go prove I can do it somewhere else. And he's going to have to go to a pretty big program with resources to be able to recreate the same success he had at Penn State.
Yeah, but James Franklin, I looked at this last night, and in terms of active head coaches, he's fifth in wins. So it's not like he's a terrible coach. He's a good coach. The problem with Penn State was they weren't contending for national championships, which they hoped they would have been able to do this year with everyone they had coming back.
Right.
That's been the problem.
Yeah, I mean, this was supposed to be his best team, and he just lost to UCLA and Northwestern back-to-back years or back-to-back weeks. So, you know, doesn't completely shock me that he was fired, but, I mean, I think shocking that it happened right now. And we'll see. Where does Penn State go? Matt Rhule is the early name. I know Kurt Cignetti's been mentioned, but I think it's more interesting to see where James Franklin could go. French on the YouTube chat does make a good point that I think the contract, what he could get from Penn State and the offset clause or duty to mitigate clause, he could take a contract lower than the buyout amount and still get some of the Penn State money, but obviously it would go down based on what he's getting paid at his new spot. So lots to work out there. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Crazy news over the weekend. James Franklin losing his third straight game and then being fired. Penn State with an opening. And James Franklin out on the market. Coaching carousel going to heat up over the next couple of months. When we come back, we'll get back into the Titans for our second and final hour of the show. Again, we are getting out a little early today. Preds playing at noon Central Time, taking on Ottawa for the start of this four-game Canadian road trip. We'll talk some Preds in the final hour of the show. And again, get back into the Titans. Brian Callahan, he got a week off from the hot seat talk after finally winning a game, no matter how lucky they got to win that game. But yesterday, I think, put him firmly right back where he was before the Arizona win. What happens now with Mike Vrabel coming to town? We'll talk about it next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game.